When you're starting over on a new tribe with nothing, the best place to stock up on supplies is Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you ready for our exit interview podcast today. We're going to be speaking with PG Law, the third person voted out of Survivor Cambodia, and very interested to talk with PG after her eventful 8 days in Cambodia. She's going to be coming up here in just a few minutes. So looking forward to that. Busy Thursday here today on the podcast, going to get ready to talk with Denise Stapley. And I am very much looking forward to my conversation with Denise. I'm sure that she will have a lot to say about what she's seen after three episodes of watching her good pal, Abby Maria, return to Survivor. So that's going to be coming up. Then we're also going to get into your voicemails with Antonio Mazzaro on the podcast. Make sure you don't miss that by subscribing. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Last night, also, we did the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Myself and Josh Wiggler broke everything down from the episode. Had a fun show there, so you can check that out on robhasawebsite.com. All right, so let's get into it. I see that we have PG Law on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. PG, are you there?
Hello.
PG, good morning. How are you?
Good. Hey, Rob. Sorry to have to talk to you this soon.
I know. PG, I wish I had like 3 hours to talk to you, but I've only got a couple of minutes. So let's just jump right into this, because there was so much about last night that we were all so confused about. Can you just take us back to that immunity challenge and just talk us through what the hell was going on with Jeff Arner?
Jeff Arner had this crazy plan beforehand to shout to our previous tribe mates on the other side, like, you know, Kimmy and Cap and Sierra are on the outs. You guys should link up with them, blah, 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 you know. And he didn't actually go so far as a shout, but he did, I guess, mouth something to them, which Sasha saw. And so she jumped in and was calling him a rat. You know, we got a rat up in here. And Jeff, I think, felt kind of attacked and put on the spot when she did that. And so he started just throwing everybody out. Like, he was like, you want to see a rat? Let me tell you who's being a rat. And he's like, I saw Wu making deals, and I saw PG making deals, and, you know, and he just kind of started throwing all, like, everybody's name out there to the point where all of us felt attacked. And I was like, I thought I was in your alliance. Like, why are you putting my name out there and putting me on blast in front of everybody? You know, and I just kind of devolved from there into just complete chaos.
Okay, so how did the target go from Jeff Varner to you?
They didn't show this, but, you know, it was, we all went back and everyone was like, I think we should go out Jeff. Like, he's obviously, he put everyone on blast. And so that's kind of, and Wu had turned to me and he was like, you know what, I don't trust Jeff anymore. I feel like Savage and Tasha are, you know, more trustworthy, we should go with them. And I was like, that's, you know, and I was cool with that. So it was all set to be Jeff. And then Jeff came running up to me and he goes, PG, he goes, you know, Abby Maria is gunning for you. I heard your name thrown out there. Like, she wants them to vote you out instead. And so after that, I went up to talk to Abby Maria to see what was going on. And you saw the scene where she was like, well, I'm not working with you guys. I'm just going to do whatever Tasha says. So then when she said that, I was like, well, shit, if I vote out Jeff, I've already lost Abby Maria. And if I vote Jeff out, then I'm losing him for sure. That's like two. We're just, you know, that's two losses for one vote. I was like, that's not worth it. So maybe I need to try to get Abby Maria out now. So then I went back to Tasha and I was like, you know what? I think we should do Abby tonight. Like, she's really untrustworthy, blah, blah, blah. And I told Tasha that I wasn't going to vote for Jeff after all. And I think that's why she called me indecisive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Tasha's no moron. Like, Tasha can do math. And she was like, if we vote out Abby, then suddenly she's lost an ally, you know. And she's like, how do I know you're not going to swing back with Jeff? And I told her, I promised her I wouldn't. But, you know, she's not stupid. So she made the right move, I have to say, for her. So that's really kind of how it happened that fast. It's almost the same thing that happened to Shireen, like why Shireen got rid of it all. in the last episode.
So when we talk about who was really the architect behind what ultimately happened, the episode certainly made it seem like it's Tasha and Savage are the people that are behind it. But it almost makes it seem like, from what you're saying, that Jeff Varner needs to be getting more credit for being able to scramble and getting the target off of him.
Jeff definitely, you know what, ultimately I shot myself in the foot, but, Jeff scrambled. Like, I don't know why they didn't show it. He's the one that kind of told me that Abby Maria was gunning for me, which I think he said later that, like, he was making that up, but it turned out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think he definitely gets credit for it. And then when I found that out, I realized that I needed to try to protect him. So that's why I shot the Abby boat around.
Yes.
And then once, you know, they were like, well, maybe we should just vote out PG then, since she's targeting Abby, who is now one of Tasha's allies. So I really wish that I had talked to Jeff and said, hey, let's maybe try to bring it to a tie. Like, you know, let's go to Rock. It'll actually be more worth it, because if I go this week, maybe you're going to go next week. And my thought was, if I get rid of Jeff this week, it's going to just be me in the next week. I have no more numbers. But just, I think he got screwed by a tie the last time, so he just refused to do it this time.
PG, do you feel like if you would have just sat back, let it be Jeff Varner, and not tried to influence the vote to be Abby, do you feel like you would have been okay in the tribal council?
100%. It should have been Jeff that night. The target only shifted to me when I said, I don't want to vote Jeff anymore. And actually, they didn't show it, but right as I was voted out, and I was about to walk away, Tasha called out. She was like, it shouldn't have been you tonight, PG. She goes, it should have been Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a fairly accurate statement.
How about your relationship with Abby Maria? Do you feel like there was more that you could have done to repair that relationship? Or do you feel like that was so damaged? I mean, this was the third episode in a row where you and Abby Maria have this conflict. Was that just irreparable?
I tried so hard to be nice to her. And she just took everything I said the wrong way. Sometimes when somebody has such a mental block against you, sometimes there's really nothing you can do or say. I mean, I think they showed that one scene where we're sitting in the shelter, and you know how it is. Like, you're sitting in the rain for hours and hours, and you're just making idle conversation, right? So I'm like, oh, like, you seem actually pretty dry. And I really didn't mean anything of it. I was just making conversation, and she just, like, took it the wrong way and just started snapping at me. It was very difficult, and it was very trying. Like, I tried constantly. I don't think there's anything that I could have done to repair that relationship. Who knows? What I should have done was I should have approached Tasha and Savage the minute we hit the new beach and just took them aside and said, you know what, you guys are safe. I'm not voting you out. If you guys will help me vote out Abby Maria, she's really unpredictable. I think that actually would have been the best course of action in the long run.
Now, PG, you've been at the center of these votes these first three episodes. Going back to that first episode, it looked like it was you and Jeff who were the swing votes between the beach people and the shelter people, that you had that decision to make, keep Vetus or keep Abby Maria. You guys decided to, and there's been a lot of talk about that, Jeff, at tribal council asking, hey, are you going to vote? Are you still going to vote the way that you said that you were going to vote? And you guys decide to vote out Vetus instead of Abby Maria. Have you gone back to that decision a bunch of times and said, boy, why didn't we keep Vetus around?
Yes, Rob, of course. I'm asking myself, why the hell didn't I just vote Abby Maria at the first vote when I totally could have? But, you know, at the time it made sense for me because Shireen and Spencer offered me an alliance. They said, you know what, we want you in our alliance, we want to work with you, but we really want to vote on Vetus. That's our bottom line. You know, and here, the other alliance, the shelter alliance, they're voting out the person that I actually want to vote out, but none of them have come up to me and given me any kind of offers. And in fact, Terry came up to me on like day three and he goes, hey, PG, we have the numbers. We're voting at Abby Maria. I'm just letting you know. And I'm like, thanks for letting me in on your numbers plan, which you don't have. But you know, it didn't make me feel like I was really part of their alliance, because we already have the numbers. I'm just letting you know so you can vote the right way. Mm-hmm. And so that was why I ended up going with the beach people in the vote.
PG, I was thinking about this morning, just thinking back to your original season in Survivor China. And I feel like that there's a little bit of symmetry here, because back in that season, when there was a tribe swap, again, you were in that same position where you ended up in a tribe swap where you controlled the numbers after the swap. And in that season that you famously decide we're at the helm of throwing that challenge at John Hu and then voting out at Aaron, and then having James in that position where he was going to be the next one to go potentially. Was there anything that you took away from that experience going into this tribe swap where, again, you have a 4-2 advantage?
Well, Rob, let me tell you, the irony is not lost on me. And they didn't show it, but Varner had actually come up to us, and he actually wanted to throw the next two challenges, you know, and his reasoning was, well, throw the next two challenges, we'll vote out Tasha and Savage, and then suddenly we'll be even numbers again, you know, according to the original tribe line. And actually, this time, I was the one that shut it down. I was like, I don't want to throw a challenge. I'm like, I did it in my first season. It doesn't feel good. But also, the timing isn't right. I'm like, the timing was better for it in my first time that I did it. I said, right now, it's too early to throw challenges. So, if it makes you feel any better, I did veto a challenge throw this time around.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers were not as solid as you had at John Hu, so I don't think that was the right decision to make. I think you made the right decision in China, and I agree it was not the right decision here. Could you talk to me about what actually went down during Bracelet Gate? Because it was such a big scandal in that first episode. Was there any foul play involved with you and the Abby Maria bracelet?
Oh, man, I wish I could take credit for doing it on purpose just to drive her crazy. But I really can't. I mean, so this is what happened. We get to the beach. There's a bunch of empty bags out there for us to use. And we have our game shoes with our name tags on them. And we said, you know what? Everybody just claim a bag by tying your name tag around an empty bag. So I was like, cool. So I went to a bag that I thought was empty. I felt around in it. I put my name tag on it. And that was that. And, like, I didn't realize that her bracelet was inside it, which, by the way, like, you know, it was very irritating that everybody's busy working and trying to build the shelter, and she literally went to every person interrupting them, asking them to come help her find her bracelet while we were working in our shelter. But she did, you know, and I remember that I told her. She goes, oh, my bag was right here. And I said, hey, Abby, I think actually I might have taken that bag on accident. I was like, why don't you go look in my bag, the bag that has my name in it, and I'm sure you'll find a bracelet in there. And I remember, like, telling her that, and she just goes, oh, I already looked, it's not there. And I was like, okay, and I really didn't think any more of it, you know, and I didn't realize that she was going around telling everybody that she thought I stole her bracelet until everybody else came up and told me about that later. They were like, oh, Abby's saying you stole her bracelet. We don't believe her, but we just want you to know that that's what she's saying about you. So that's kind of where some of the bad blood started, I guess.
Do you think that somebody put that bracelet into a bag and tried to frame you, or you think it was just all one big accident?
No, it was completely an accident. She just put her bracelet in a bag that didn't have a name tag on it, and I thought it was empty.
Okay. All right.
And I put my tag on it after. Yeah. Sorry, nothing juicy or drama or that exciting about it. It was purely an accident.
Well, you don't need to create drama with Abby Maria. She's going to get mad about stuff,
Lord,
anyway.
She really just can't help herself.
Yeah. All right. Now tell me about this new camp that you were at. It looked like, from what we saw in the episode, that there were absolutely no supplies there other than just, like, the most meager of, like, pots and pans and a little bit of stuff to make the shelter. Is it true you guys had no food? You had nothing there?
This was the Survivor ghetto, Rob. it was Survivor hell. It was pretty bad. We didn't even have rice. We had nothing. I think we had, like, a machete. We had some bamboo. There were a few coconuts, but that was really it. There was no food, no building supplies. There's only six of us. And the beach that we were at was really, really hilly. So in order to get water, to get supplies, even to get to the challenges, we had to do, like, 10-minute uphill hikes. Which would have been bad enough if you had to, but you didn't have any. just all of it combined just really wore you down. And I think that I was just kind of really mentally exhausted by the time, by the time it came to go to tribal and strategize. And I just, I probably wasn't on top of my game as I should have been.
Now, PG, this has been such a long process, and we talked back in May when you were going through the campaign, through all of this. Now that you're able to come away from it and have hindsight about this whole experience, could you come up with, just without getting into like super specifics in terms of like things that you would have done differently in the game, what would be the best advice that you could have given yourself if you could have talked to the PG from May of this year?
Oh, gosh. I would have said to stroke Abby's ego a little bit more, I suppose. That was probably ultimately my biggest downfall. I think up in, besides my conflict with her, I had really good relationships with everybody else. So that would have just been it. Steer clear of the pitfalls of Abby Maria. It's the only advice I can give myself.
PG, thank you so much for coming on with me. And I hope that we can talk some more at some point later on in the future, because I know everybody loves to hear from you. So all the best. Good luck with all the jewelry and everything. And don't bother with Abby Maria's bracelets, even if they're nice. And I'll talk to you soon.
I'm starting a new line, so maybe I'll give her a bracelet at the reunion.
I think it's a brilliant marketing idea. All right, PG. Take care, okay?
Great talking, Rob. Bye.
All right, bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. The great PG Law back here on Rob Has a Podcast. All right. So let's get into our, every week we do this segment. We bring in our resident Survivor researcher who's gone back, studied every moment in the history of Survivor, and is here to talk about what has gone on this exact week in Survivor history. Please welcome the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. Ravasu, how you doing?
Doing well, Jordan. Hanging in there. I know that you are a Yankee fan. I know you were at the game the other night. How are you holding up?
It was terrible. There's really nothing positive about that experience. I was so excited before the game. I was excited all week. They almost lost the home game, so I almost didn't get to go. And then I went, and I kind of likened it to Vitas saying that he would have rather not been on the season if he knew he was going to get voted out first. If I knew the Yankees were going to play that badly, I would have not wanted to be at that game.
You would have rather foregone the playoff experience, or you would have rather stayed home?
I think I would have rather stayed home. Missing the playoffs for a third year in a row would not have been good.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I rarely go to a professional sporting event, because it's fun when you win, but you don't get your money back if you lose. There's no satisfaction guaranteed on these sporting events.
No, but I'm a big Yankee fan. I did feel like I had to be at the game. I was very happy to go, but now that I've had that experience, I kind of wish I was, maybe watching at home instead of watching from the stadium.
Yeah, one of the reasons I won't be going to any Mets-Dodgers games out here this next coming week. But let's get into talking about the Survivor. And of course, we'll talk about This Week in Survivor History, sponsored by Stamps.com. Every week, the good folks at Stamps.com have been so good to sponsor our This Week in Survivor History segment, and this week is no exception, because with Stamps.com, you can get everything you want from the post office on demand with your own printer, because you could be printing real U.S. postage right from the comfort of your own house. You don't have to worry about any sort of problems, like if you were on the Angkor tribe, by going to the post office, Jordan.
Yeah, so if I had PG and Abby Maria arguing in front of my house, I'd still be able to use Stamps.com.
Of course.
Awesome.
Because you can buy and print your official U.S. postage for any letter or package using just your computer and your printer. And Stamps.com never closes. It's open 24/7, holidays, you name it, because Stamps.com is the most convenient way. I've got all the stickers and the scale and the stamps at my house, and I'm ready to go. Basically, any package you give me, I could just, boom, be shipping it like that.
Bangarang.
Bangarang, that's right. So right now, sign up for Stamps.com. Use promo code RHAP for our special offer. You get a free four-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. You just click on that little microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in RHAP. Much easier than finding the clue if you're Stephen Fishback for the idol. Go to stamps.com, enter the promo code RHAP, and you will be ready to go. All right, we're ready to go too, because we're going to talk about This Week in Survivor History. So Jordan, here we go. It's what, the first week of October?
Yeah, first week of October, the week of October 4th to October 10th. And tonight, as we saw on Survivor Second Chances, we had a very interesting tribe swap where we had two tribes go to three tribes, which had never been done in Survivor history. So never. For this week, I actually have two tribe swaps for you that were very unique. I think they, I would say they had mixed success, but we'll talk about them. And the first one
and
is
are these two going to become three?
These two tribes are not going to become three.
Okay, not
these,
three segments.
No, not three segments. This is going to be one segment with two tribe swaps. The first one being the tribe swap in Survivor Guatemala.
Of course, the Survivor Guatemala tribe swap, which was kind of weird because they just sort of like sprung it on everybody. It was like in the middle of a different challenge that was going on. It was like they didn't even call it a challenge. It was like some sort of like activity that they were doing.
Yeah, it was very weird. Jeff Probst calls the tribes in and he says, we're going to take a break from the challenges. And he's asking the tribes questions about the first one being like, who needs nourishment the most? So they said that Jamie and Danny needed nourishment the most and they both got to eat an apple.
Yeah.
So very, very interesting. I don't know if anyone on either tribe had a feeling of what was maybe going to happen. I have a feeling Brian Corridan, being a big fan of the show, maybe knew that something was up.
Well, he didn't know enough to say that he was not one of the people with the most Yasha spirit.
He bleeds Yasha.
Yeah.
So interesting thing that happens. And I love when Survivor tries new things. But this one to me was sort of a weird tribe swap where we wasted a lot of time on the questions and, you know, Judd and Margaret to get to go on a picnic with Amy and Gary.
Yeah.
So very weird scene. Finally, they have Cindy and Brian Corden draft the new tribes. They didn't even draft the new tribes. They were the ones who were the captains of the new tribes, and then they switched everybody else. It was sort of confusing the way they did it to figure out who was now on what tribe. And the fact that, you know, the whole point of a tribe swap is to change the dynamics of the game. And it's really fun as a viewer to see what happens after the swap. But this took a lot of time where if they had just done a draft, or maybe they just had they asked who was the, who bled Yasha and who bled Nakum. Maybe have them be captains, draft the tribes, and then go back to camp. We would have had a lot more time to see the new tribes develop.
Yeah, it's a weird tribe swap that it's very early. It takes place in the fourth episode. I think it's day nine when it happens. And then ultimately we don't merge until day 19 or so like that. So it's actually one of these things where like we spend almost, I think, more time with the swapped tribes than we do with the original tribes. And it's sort of a little confusing because even now I probably can't like paint a good picture of who was on what tribe. Like I remember all the people in the season, but it would be very hard for me to tell you who started on Yasha and who started on Nakum. So it's sort of a wonky tribe swap in a season that I do like.
I agree. All that matters, though, is that Margaret and Judd end up on the same tribe.
Yes, that we have a great tribal council there.
Yes.
All right, so what other tribe swaps happened on this week in Survivor history?
This takes us now 7 years ago, October 9th, 2008. This is the first tribe swap of Survivor Gabon. If you remember, they actually did two tribe swaps on that season. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe my favorite tribe swap in Survivor history.
Why do you like it so much?
It's not based on who went to what tribe or if I thought the tribes that came out of this was interesting, even though I think they were interesting tribes. I really like what they did here. They again started with a little quiz, kind of like in Guatemala, but instead they had each member of the Kota and Fang tribes rank their tribe members by importance. And then they actually showed you, they had them stand on pedestals and the top pedestal was higher than the second pedestal. And then it went all the way down to number eight. They had everyone standing there based on what their tribe members perceived as who they perceived as being the most important. So first of all, it really shows you as a viewer the dynamic of the tribe, and it shows the other tribe your dynamics, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they had to do a do-over from basically where the tribe selection got so screwed up in the beginning of the game that they needed to do it again and sort of like stack it to make like even tribes by like making people stand on like different level podiums. Like, it's like the person who is like the most valuable, you should pick this person. They're standing on the tallest thing. And the person who's the least valuable, don't pick them. They're on the bottom thing. So it's like they really had to like hold their hand through what the new tribes should have been.
Mm-hmm. And even with that, Bob is in the third spot in his tribe, and he's picked he's the last guy picked on his tribe, and Propes calls him a diamond in the rough, but I believe that was Clay Jordan's role in Survivor history.
All right, because so Clay Jordan is of course the diamond in the rough, but as the diamond in the rough of this week in Survivor history, what else you got for this week?
This week in Survivor history, we saw again with the tribe saw it. We saw Sierra finally gets. She hasn't really spoken much so far in Survivor Second Chances. She did get a confessional after the tribe swap, but she had a much more interesting episode 2 years ago in Survivor history on Blood versus Water. This is also October 9th, but this is 2013. This is the episode where there is a tie vote at Tribal Council where Sierra actually gets 3 votes. Brad gets 3 votes. But Brad, of course, thought he was safe because he thought that that Caleb Bankston was on his side. But Brad made a mistake. And it's kind of hard to tell from the editing in the episode because Brad does talk to Katie and Sierra about potentially voting out Caleb, which is it's not something that I think Brad actually wanted to do. I think he just wanted to maybe talk to Katie and Sierra, to maybe try to trick them into thinking that one of them might be staying. But Caleb somehow finds out about this, and they don't show it in the episode, but he switches his vote at Tribal Council and causes a tie.
Yeah, well, I get the sense that Caleb didn't tell production what he was going to be doing because he just sort of like was sort of spur of the moment on it. But, you know, Brad is talking throughout the episodes like, well, if everybody's getting mad at me when we go to Redemption Island because I'm voting off their loved ones, well, why don't we just target somebody who doesn't have a loved one here anymore, which Colton had quit the game by that point. So Brad, I think, sort of felt like that was a thing where nobody would get mad at him if they had made Caleb one of the next targets, because that was going to be somebody that, you know, then nobody was going to get mad if they showed up at Redemption Island and the next person voted out was Caleb. So that was where, and you know, Caleb had already been getting some bad feelings from Brad. So I don't know. I don't think that Brad was going to go for Caleb at that vote, but that was definitely something that Brad was thinking about. So good on Caleb, which really set into motion that crazy final six rock draw, which I don't think happens unless people like Hayden and Sierra and Katie had already been through this 3-3 split, which they went through here at this Todd Hanna final six.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, Caleb even has a line earlier in the episode where he says he doesn't want to get johned, referring to John Cody, who was voted out by Brad. And he was like, look, we're the guys that are with Brad. Brad's already been willing to get rid of one of his own. I think I feel safer going with Katie and Sierra on this vote. And you're right. You know, we would have had a completely different game if Caleb doesn't do this. Sierra becomes a pre-merge boot. We probably don't hear much about her again in Survivor history. And she's, you know, most likely not on the season.
Okay. Huge week in Survivor history. So many things getting shaken up.
Very big.
All right. Jordan, great job once again.
Thank you, Rob. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week, buddy. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Jordan Kalish here this week in Survivor history. So I'm going to be getting into all of our podcasts today. Plus, I'm going to be speaking at a virtual conference on blab.im. I'm going to be speaking about podcasting at about 5:30 Eastern, which you could check out on blab.im. I'm going to be interviewed about how I got started about podcasting in sort of a live virtual conference. Those of you guys who are interested in that sort of thing. Plus, I'm going to get ready for all of the other podcasts coming up here on Thursday. Plus, we'll get back into it on Friday with our amazing race coverage with Jessica Leese. That's going to be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time this Friday night. So if you want to get your voicemails into the show, you know how to do it. robiswebsite.com/voicemail 3232-RHAP. Looking forward to hearing your comments here on this episode of the podcast, and hope you check back later on tonight where we get into our podcast with Denise and voicemails with Antonio. Have a good Thursday, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.